Let's just pray before I begin. Loving God, thank you that your word is living and therefore has something to say to us every time we read it. May you, by your Spirit, inspire us to understand today. Amen. Hands up, any of you who have struggled with that parable before. If you've heard it before and you've thought, what on earth is Jesus on about? If you're honest. Okay, because it seems to be contradictory, right? It seems to be that Jesus is saying that he's holding up this shrewd, dishonest, whatever the translation of your Bible is, holding him up and saying, you should do like him. That's how you should behave. That's what seems to come across when you first read it, right? I don't know if that's how you felt. And that doesn't sit right at all, does it? That's not really how we think that Jesus is telling us how we should behave. So when we get to these knotty problems in the Bible, when we suddenly get a bit that we go, what is that on about? I don't understand. We have to do two things. One, we need to come with an open heart and be prepared for God to surprise us. Perhaps there is something that we haven't understood. Perhaps there is something we need to shift in our thinking. So coming with an open heart. And the second is to place what we have just read in the wider context of the whole Bible. Okay, so today we're going to do that. I'm going to make Bible scholars of all of you. You will need sight of a Bible today. I've just stolen Christian's because I wasn't organized enough. But if you have sight of a Bible, it will be helpful. So, you will need to find Luke chapter 16. It's on page 991. And I want you to first of all have a look. Because remember, the Gospel of Luke, written by Luke, was a whole book that he put together to tell people about Jesus. Now, he wasn't just a random author who just took things and put them in various places. He crafted this book of Luke. So therefore, noticing where things are put in the Gospel is really helpful because Luke did it on purpose. So can anybody tell me where this fits in? What's come just before this parable of the shrewd manager, as it's called in our church Bibles? Anybody want to shout it out? It's after the lost son, yes. Which is after the lost coin, which is after the lost sheep. Lost, lost, lost. Okay, so last week I talked a lot about lost and those three parables. You can always catch up if you ever miss them. They're always online if you want to catch up on the lostness. But it wasn't just about lost, was it? We talked about the fact that actually all of these parables, it's a bit of a mislabeling to call them all parables of lostness. They're actually all parables about rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven, rejoicing when we've been found. So actually, this parable of the shrewd manager is coming after some conversations that Jesus had about how we live in the kingdom of God. How we celebrate in the kingdom of God. Okay, what comes after the shrewd manager? Not immediately, but sort of the next few things that Luke puts in the chapter. We've got this wonderful title, Additional Teachings. That does feel a bit like Luke went, oh, I don't know where I'm going to fit this in. Quick, put it in there. So moving on from that. Yes, so that kind of, actually, we probably should have added that onto our reading today. It sort of fits in with what our reading is, yes. But what's the next big story that Luke has in his gospel? The rich man and Lazarus. Thank you. Not to be confused with the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. It's a different Lazarus. So confusing when they have all the same name. It's one of those other reasons that I think the Bible is true. No one would write a story with that many Marys. if you didn't want to not confuse people. Anyway, so there's two Lazaruses. This is a parable about a chap called Lazarus and a rich man. The rich man never gets named. Lazarus, the poor man, does. It's a parable Jesus is telling about what happens after life and how we should live in this life in order, because it affects the next life, right? So we have, Luke has put this particular parable in between understanding what the kingdom of God is like and celebrating in the kingdom of God and living your life rightly so that it affects what happens after we die, okay? It affects how we live in heaven. Just hold that in your understanding as we explore this parable today. Sometimes the Bible is harder to understand if we take little chunks on its own and we don't look at the whole big concept. Okay, so that's our little bit of understanding where this fits in Luke. Now, let's look at the actual passage. When you read, when you hear a really good storyteller, or I really hesitate to say a really good preacher, but when you've heard a really good preacher at some other church somewhere, where is their key point? Where do they put their key message, the one that they want you to take home, that as their main point that they want you to remember? Where do you think, if you were preaching, speaking, trying to get a point across, where would you put that main point? The beginning and the end. I think definitely the end. If people forget everything else you said, they're likely to remember the last thing you said. So therefore, that's what they might take home. So let's look at the last thing Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That was verse 13. His last bit of this parable. As a side note, I don't know why money's got a capital M. I think some people think that it's Mammon, the god, somehow god of money. That was a Middle Ages thing. That's not biblical here. This is just money, small m, wealth. You cannot serve both God and wealth, Jesus is saying. That's his main point. So if that is his main point, let's hold on to that. He is trying to teach a point about how you cannot serve both God and money. I think this is Jesus teaching on that first commandment. Love the Lord your God. There is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the first, the greatest commandment. Jesus is saying here, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't have two. There is one. So this whole parable is expanding on that first commandment that Jesus is trying to teach. So therefore, hold that in mind and let's look at this parable. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So the manager is about to lose his job. The rich man is saying, you can't do this anymore. You can no longer be my manager. What's he going to do? So what he does is he makes a deal with all the rich man's debtors so that they might think of him kindly when he's out on his ear. And the manager actually commends him for this action. Not the manager, the rich man actually commends him for this action. That's the first point we go, oh, that's interesting. Okay. But then, seemingly, Jesus also commends him for this action and saying we should do likewise. What a pickle. Now, we're holding those things in our mind, but we also need to hold in our mind other parables that Jesus has told. Because Jesus sometimes uses people that are not necessarily likable to teach us something of theological importance. Do you remember the parable where he tells people about a neighbour who says, bangs on his neighbour's door at midnight, saying, I've got friends have just suddenly turned up, I've got nothing to feed them, give me bread. Do you remember that parable? And he uses that parable to say, ask God for what you need. In the parable, the neighbor keeps banging on the neighbor's door, saying, give me bread. And Jesus says, the man's going to get up and give him the bread, not because he's his friend, but because he keeps banging on his door and he keeps being audacious and asking for it. Now, Jesus isn't using that parable to say, be irresponsible, not having enough stuff in and relying on neighbors to bail you out when you get caught short. Jesus is not saying, be rude and just demand things for yourself whenever it's convenient for you. And don't take into consideration other people when they're sleeping. Jesus is not saying, be like that man in those ways. Jesus was saying, be audacious in what you ask for. So sometimes Jesus will use people who seemingly are unlikable to teach us a lesson. Now, I think that's what he's doing here. This shrewd manager is not necessarily someone that we immediately warm to because we think he is being dishonest and dodgy. We're told that at the very beginning. But there is something that this manager has got and something that he understands that Jesus wants us to notice. And I think it's because Jesus wants us to notice a key thing that that shrewd manager did. What you might have expected as a dishonest manager who was fiddling his boss's books, perhaps, certainly being dishonest with money, is I'm about to lose my job. I know I'll fiddle the books a bit more, get myself a pile of cash, and then I'll be okay when I've lost my job. We might consider that he does that, but he doesn't. What he does is he goes, when I lose my job, I'm going to need friends. I'm going to need people around me to look out for me. I know I will use my resources to get friends. Now he uses them dodgily. We may not agree with all that. But I think what Jesus is wanting us to notice is this man, this dishonest manager, has got his priorities right. Because he knows that the worldly wealth is not going to be what sustains him and keeps him going once he's lost his job. What he needs is a relationship. He needs community. He needs people. I think Jesus is trying to show us where our priorities need to be, in those intangible things, those relationships, things that involve people, things that involve us being gracious, being kind, being thoughtful, being loving. Jesus says, use your wealth, be like this man, use what you have to build up the intangible things of life, to make friendships, because those things will last into eternity. So don't use your time and energies building up physical things, more wealth. Don't do that, because that will be your focus. That will be what you think you need to rely on. Instead, Jesus is saying, use the things that you do have to build up the things of God. Relationships, community, support. All those things we talked about earlier, when we need endurance, when we have to get through something tough in life, it was the people who got us through. Now, I think those are the riches that Jesus is talking about. Those are the treasures in heaven that he talks about elsewhere that we need to store up and look for. So Jesus is saying, be shrewd like this manager. Be sensible, be pragmatic about what you do have in this life. But don't use it for building up more of that. Use it for building up more of those intangible treasures in heaven. Use it rightly. Use it righteously. Use it for the things that require love and service and compassion and humility, care and dedication. Use those riches not to make a life full of expensive things, but a life full of rich relationships. And then if you do that, You are shown that you can be trustworthy with small riches. Think how much more trustworthy you will then be with the great riches of heaven. That's my thought. Now it's over to you guys for your thoughts. The joy of this service is that we now have a moment to have those conversations, to talk about the tricky bits. And of course, we will do this in lots of different ways. So those of you who have sat too long and listened to me for too long and are really needing to get up and move about, this is your moment. We have two activities that are more physical. One is if you really enjoy those knotty problems of human knots, we're going to make a human knot at the back and then untangle ourselves. So if you want to be part of that, come and be part of that. It probably does involve being able to move quite freely, because I've often had to step over people's arms and go duck under, just so you know. You might need to be quite agile for that activity. Or you might want to come and do some weaving. We're thinking about weaving relationships, weaving communities. So you can come and do some simple paper plate weaving if you like. We've got some templates here and some wool at the front. Or you might like to sit and think about this a bit more. There's been a lot to think about this morning. You might like to just take yourself away. You can come up here, wherever you would like, and ponder. Could we have the questions up, Tatiana, please? Because I've just... Okay, so pondering the true riches of heaven. If you would like to ponder that and ponder this whole parable a little bit more, feel free to go and find yourself a space to do that. Or if you like chatting, feel free to chat about this parable and how wrong you think I am in my understanding of it, and what your understanding of it is. That is great. This is the opportunity. Or you might like to talk with each other how we as a church can be shrewd with our resources, can use them wisely to build up relationships with each other, within our wider community, within the whole of God's created world. How do we use our resources to build up those treasures in heaven, those intangible things? So over to you guys. Let's have some time to explore all of that. I'm just going to draw us to a close, and then Christian's going to come and pray with us. But Lord, I just want to thank you for the conversations that we have had, for the times that we've had to think and ponder. Thank you for the way that you've been working in all of that, in all of us. And I pray that you would continue to do that work. Help us to find opportunities to reflect on you, on what you've taught us this morning, to have conversations, to deepen our understanding of you. Amen.